Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, it may surprise you that the very first words about the resurrection that were written down were not written down in the Gospels. The Gospels came later. When you look at your New Testament, it's not put in chronological order. The first time we hear about the resurrection is from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. And he talks about it, and he says that Jesus died. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. And then he appeared to James and all the apostles. That's the first written record we have of the resurrection. And when Paul first heard the gospel, when he first heard that this prophet Jesus was raised from the dead, he was having absolutely none of it. He not only did not believe, he thought it was a very dangerous thing that people were talking about it. And he made it his business to go around and try to stop the words of the disciples. He tried to stop anyone who believed this fanciful tale that someone had risen from the dead. He was so afraid of what that would do to his culture and his religion. And so he worked to stop it. And if you remember the story of Paul, when the Apostle Stephen stood up and gave a stirring speech about Jesus, Paul was there to hold the guy's coats as everybody else picked up rocks to kill him. He went around and arrested anyone who had a belief in Jesus. He didn't believe in the resurrection. He did not believe one word of it. But then something happened to Paul. And this is really the story of Easter. It's not only about an empty tomb and looking back 2,000 years to something that a few people experienced. Paul said, "I met Jesus too. As if one untimely born, Jesus came to Paul." You remember the story how Paul was going to arrest more Christians and God knocked him off his horse and blinded him with light. And when he said, who is this? Jesus introduced himself to him. And Paul goes on to say that because he met Jesus, and I love this statement, he said, "I am who I am because of Christ. I am who I am." Well, what did he become after he had this magnificent conversion experience? Paul was an elitist. Paul was someone who had been born into wealth, and he was educated, highly educated. And this was the man that after he came to know Jesus, he said, "There is no Greek or Jew, there's no slave nor free, there's no male or female, all are one in Christ." You know how radical that is to say something like that? This was the man that when he encountered a slave in prison, he sent this slave back to his owner and said, "I don't want you to regard him as a slave anymore, but as your brother in Christ." That was radical. This man who tried to destroy people was sent on a healing mission and sent to people that he would have ordinarily thought were untouchables, the Gentiles, and preached the gospel to them. This man was changed from the inside out as though one untimely born. And that's the message of Easter today, that we all get to meet the risen Christ in one form or the other. As one untimely born, Jesus comes to us. I was trying to think of some modern day examples of the kind of conversion Paul had. Do you remember, now for some of you young people, I'm dating myself, in the 70s, a man named Chuck Colson. Chuck loved and was zealous for his president, Richard Nixon. He was intensely loyal. So loyal that he was known to say, "I'd run over my own grandmother for Richard Nixon." He also said that religion was okay, but only in small doses. And this man was wicked. He loved to do any kind of slimy act he could to protect his president. And when the Nixon administration started to unravel, Chuck Colson turned his life over to Jesus. And boy, did the media have a field day with that. They said, gee, isn't it convenient that now he's gotten religion, now that he's in trouble? But this man, good to his conversion experience, he didn't get knocked off his horse, but he pulled his car over to the side one day and gave his life to Jesus. Instead of fighting the charges against him, he pled guilty. Against his lawyer's advice, he went to prison. And you remember that after he left prison, he was so completely changed that instead of going back into politics or law, he formed the Prison Fellowship. And since until he died, he worked to reform the prison system and to preach hope within the prison. That's a change, because he was like one untimely born. There was another man, if you've ever read the book, Have a Little Faith by Mitch Albom. If you haven't, I would highly recommend this book. And in the book, he talks about a preacher named Henry Covington. Henry Covington, to put it mildly, was a thug. He was somebody who was destined to die on the streets. He was into all sorts of racketeering and drugs and violence, spent time in prison. And one day he gave his life to the Lord, not because he saw a light, but because he was so frightened that he was going to be killed by a rival gang that he begged God and said, "If you save me this night, I will turn my life over to you." And he did. And that man who had spent so much of his life in indulgence and crime turned so completely around, and he became a minister in Detroit. And where none of the churches were helping, he found an old church that had a hole in the roof. He didn't care what it looked like, as long as it was shelter, and he ministered all his life to the homeless, to people who had given up hope. He became a beacon of hope. He was like one untimely born. But what about us? I doubt if many of us have had bright lights and that kind of conversion experience. I know I haven't. And I realized when I look at the lives of these men that they had to. When you're doing something really bad, sometimes you got to get knocked around a little by God before you straighten out. But most of us don't have that experience. And yet each of us can encounter the living Christ. We encounter him through the words of Scripture. We encounter him in the hymns of faith. We encounter him in prayer. And I do hope that sometimes we encounter him through people that we see, and we can look at them and see the grace and love and mercy of Jesus. In my last church, I encountered a young man. He was an immigrant. His family had come from Nigeria, and they were very well-educated people. But as immigrants, they had to start from scratch and kind of work their way up, and he was very willing to do it. By the time I met him, he had a wife and two children, and they had a fairly comfortable existence. His wife was not thrilled about him coming to church because she said, "Pastor, I like to party on Saturday night." And my husband was really crimping my style coming to church on Sunday morning. So I didn't meet her until months after he started coming. And he had such a work of grace in him. He would bring one of the girls to vacation Bible school. And it happened to be that vacation Bible school. We not only had things for the children, but for the adults, one of our members, who was a nurse, decided to run a CPR class for infants. And so he joined that class. Within a week of his joining that class, his little girl, the baby, started choking on something, and his wife screaming in panic and called 911. But by the time 911 came and the paramedics came, he had already taken care of it because he had had that course. And you see, the resurrection, the life in Christ, is all about healing. It's all about restoration. It's all about life in this time. And when we take the gospel seriously and when we are confronted by God, we are who we are. All the wonderful things that we are as a result of grace. Now, this isn't so that we can feel good about ourselves. This isn't so we can build our self-esteem and say, you know, I'm such a wonderful person. The reason that God gives us this kind of grace is so we have a life with purpose and meaning. So we can go around and be God's grace to somebody else. So we can be Jesus to someone else. So that we can lift up those who are brokenhearted and we can bring healing and restoration to those who are broken by life. That's the message of Easter. Paul was completely renovated by Jesus. And he says something interesting in his letter. He said, to those who are being saved. You see, each day, it's a circle, we're being saved. And each day, we have the opportunity to be as like one untimely born, meeting Jesus, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the 100th time, but meeting Jesus and being changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. May that be our goal today, to encounter him when we leave this church, to encounter him in the people we meet, in the beauty of this place, in the joy of companionship and friends. Have you met Jesus? The story of Easter didn't stop 2,000 years ago. We are like one untimely born, and we are who we are through the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that when we encounter you, we cannot be the same. And we ask for those who are struggling today. We ask for those who are struggling with grief today that you would lift that burden. We ask for those who are struggling with addictions today that you would show them the path. We ask for those who are struggling with chronic disease each and every day. And we thank you, Lord, that this day and for as many days as you give to us, we have a chance to see you once again. In this life and in the life to come. Amen.